The UK has been the world leader in offshore wind generation since 2008. The next frontier is taming wind power in the open seas by using floating wind turbines. I am Eleni Diamantopoulou. I am an energy sector development lawyer at Wombombon Dickinson. And today I'm joined by our partner in the energy team, Chris Towner. Chris is going to talk to us about the exciting opportunity for floating offshore wind in the Celtic Sea. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Eleni.
How are you? I'm fine.
I'm fine too, thank you.
And I'll be better to hear more about the Celtic Sea Round. I know that the Crown Estate gave important updates during July and that the round has been prepared for several months now. But what is it so special with the Celtic Sea Round? What makes it different to previous rounds?
Well, fundamentally, the Crown Estate is delivering a new leasing opportunity in the Celtic Sea, and they're now calling it Round 5. This involves awarding up to 4 gigawatts of floating offshore wind capacity to successful bidders, and the capacity is going to be delivered between 2030 and 2035. Round 5 is unique for a number of reasons. For starters, it's the first round that has ever been solely dedicated to the delivery of floating offshore wind.
Quite important. Why is this unique compared to the previous round? What are the benefits?
Well, this time round, they've changed a number of things. Number one, it's the first time that the Crown Estate has brought forward the assessment of environmental impacts. So the expectation is that the Plan Level Habitat Assessment, or HRA, is completed ahead of the tender launch. It seems this is going to be the practice they're also going to adopt in relation to future rounds, in line with the recommendations from the Offshore Transmission Network Review.
And could you tell us more why bringing forward the HRA is so important, how that would help developers?
Sure. Well, bringing forward the HRA fundamentally reduces the risks for developers and investors, because clearing this hurdle at the beginning of the process reduces the overall time between the agreement for lease and the final investment decision. If we go back to round 4 as an example, people were submitting bids ahead of the HRA. So they were submitting bids in relation to projects that could fundamentally be a much larger size than would actually be delivered, because the HRA could reduce the size of the project and the size being the capacity being awarded under the agreement for lease. Similarly, with the ScotWind round, approximately 17 gigawatts of floating offshore wind projects were awarded in 2022, which sounds great, but the environmental surveys for those projects are still pending and the size of those projects could still be reduced. The aim is this isn't going to be the case for the Celtic Sea Round. A survey vessel has already sailed from the Port of Swansea and will be providing everyone with valuable data to be used during the assessment of environmental impacts by developers as part of their planning process.
That is very, very important indeed and sounds very positive for progressing the floating offshore wind. And when the tender is expected?
The short answer is later this year, but as you know, the dates have been pushed back from time to time. The Crown Estate has recently announced 4 project development areas in 2 refined areas, and on that basis, they're looking to start later this year. But that is going to depend on feedback that the Crown Estate's going to get about those proposed development areas. There could be more spatial squeeze issues, and that could lead to reconsideration of those areas, and inevitably, that would lead to a delay to the timetable.
Sounds great, and looks like the candidates have some time to prepare for the tender. What are the matters that they should pay attention to while preparing for the tender?
Well, one of the other changes is that a supply chain investment plan is not going to be needed, unlike some previous rounds. Instead, candidates are going to have to focus on something slightly different, which is to produce plans and show their commitment, first by evidencing how the project will deliver the development of port infrastructure that is needed for the construction of offshore wind turbines, and secondly, how they're going to create social and environmental value in line with the UK government's social value model. That model is focused on education, inclusion, environment, and communities. Also, developing successful floating offshore wind projects will happen in a phased way that will accelerate commercialisation of the technology and work towards bridging the gap between project development and the need for that enabling infrastructure and supply chains.
Do you believe that this is still enough to address the lack of enabling infrastructure? Are there any other challenges that may arise during the Celtic Sea Round?
Yeah, there's a stack of challenges that might arise. And fundamentally, this approach does echo feedback from the industry and is expected to help with the development of supply chains to deliver the Celtic Sea Round. but we're actually going to have to wait and see how this pans out in practice. Personally, yes, I think we need more financial support for the enabling infrastructure, like the $160 million that we saw allocated to FlowMIS earlier this spring. And of course, what we also would need or would be extremely helpful is better support for the projects through the Contracts for Difference or CFD mechanism. We need to see how the current reform of the CFD will safeguard adequate financing for rounds like the Celtic Sea and protect developers from financial risks such as those caused by inflation. We know the current mechanisms don't necessarily reflect those costs or actually work for developers. What we really don't want to see are more projects like Norfolk Boreas, a project that was so vital for the development of the decarbonisation of the energy system and achieving the net zero transition, being stopped because of this failure. And yeah, the whole example of Project Boreas illustrates that linking the strike price to consumer prices index is not enough because of the risk of the changes in construction costs between the CFD being awarded and the project actually being constructed.
And the industry has been warning for some time round now for this risk. But what else do you think could delay the project development in the Celtic Sea?
Well, there's always the usual suspect of grid connection dates. Although the Celtic Sea floating offshore wind projects were included in the follow-up exercise to the holistic network design, final plans are still missing. The Crown Estate recently announced that the offshore network design recommendations from the electricity system operator, along with regulatory models from Ofgem, would be available ahead of tender. And this sounds like it's going to be an attempt to further de-risk round five from grid connection perspective. But we need to wait and see how the queue management reforms also pan out and National Grid's recent efforts on get on, get back or get out. And finally, of course, there's the ongoing connection reform process itself. And we need to see how each of these actually works out in practice. And then, of course, there's progressing holistic network design itself, which should help to reduce connection times.
A lot of barriers to overcome and effort to overcome those, and clearly lots of points for developers to have in mind.
Yeah, but it's always been the case like this, hasn't it, with offshore wind. Essentially, we're trying to do something new, and floating offshore wind is just the latest iteration of this new thing. But basically, it's a really exciting opportunity to make the UK a world leader in flow technology as we were in relation to, shall we say, more conventional offshore wind. And of course, it could be an economic success of up to £1 billion for the UK in the next 5 years alone, let alone into the future. So yeah, it's a good thing to be doing.
Many thanks, Chris, for your interesting insights today. This was a podcast on Round 5 with Womble-Bone Dickinson. Please stay tuned with us for more podcasts on key developments in the energy sector.